Pretty good. Well, amen. It's good to see y'all here this evening, all eight of us, and that means we'll have 80 online, right? Praise the Lord. tell all your friends. we're going to start out by praising with "There Is No Other Name." There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved.
Before you today, and there's
song of praise. With an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. God, when your pathway is lonely, he sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God, he'll answer yet. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him, and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God through all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules and reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Amen. We doing a pick of him or?
Oh, let's do a pick.
Okay.
Pick one.
Anybody got a title or a number? Lily of the Valley, that's a good one. Maybe it starts with the T's, the Lily. Yep, sure enough, the Lily of the Valley, 626. All right. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. am forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Through all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore. Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, all right. Well, if you haven't heard, it's Joe Rudell's birthday today. Yeah, we did it this morning. Miss Joe had a birthday, having a birthday, celebrated a birthday, something like that. Amen, amen. Joe Rudell, did you see her today? Where you saw her at HEB? Did you tell her happy birthday? Oh, man. It's all right. Doing some grow shopping on Sunday. I hear you, man. All right. Very good. All right. Prayer testimonies, prayer needs, praises. What you got? Yeah. Yes. And are they doing okay? Are they doing okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay, he's just now coming down with it. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, all right. All right, we'll be praying for Becky's family with the COVID down in Orange Grove. Orange Grove. All right. Could not believe the strength of that hurricane coming ashore today. That just boggles my mind that all that's going on, and it's not that far from here. Just blows your mind, man. It's just hop, skip, and a jump, and those people are experiencing storm surge. So we'll continue to pray for the Louisiana coast, Mississippi. Hurricane Ida. Did we have an Ida that used to attend here? Who was it? James Good, the Goodmans. Yeah. Is she still living? She's still living. Okay. Louisiana, Miss Hurricane. Very good. Other prayer needs. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yes, sir, in the back. Okay. Lori's grandparents, both of them with COVID in the hospital. But they only stayed 5 days. That's good. Hospitalized with the COVID. All right. What else? All right, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's pray it up. Dear Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for saving us, Lord. We thank you for opportunities to share the truth. And I'm thankful for another opportunity, Lord, to bring a message from your word to your church. We're thankful for those that are online tonight. Thankful for all those that are here this evening. We're thankful for those that wanted to be here that couldn't be here, Lord. We pray next time, Lord, you make a way for them to be here. And, Lord, we just rejoice in the fact that we get to fellowship, break the bread of life together with one another, and show each other, just experience the truth of your word tonight as you try to help us, God, with what is careless and what is not careless when we talk about our speech. Lord, as we come to you tonight with these prayer burdens, we lift up Becky's family in Orange Grove dealing with the COVID, kind of gone through the household, the kids, the mom, and now the dad. Lord, we pray your healing hand, your healing touch upon that family. Lord, help them get through and navigate this sickness. And Lord, I pray that nobody has to be hospitalized out of that home because of the COVID. We continue to pray for Louisiana and Mississippi. And Lord, Tennessee, the valley, as this thing moves inland and everything, this Hurricane Ida. Father God, we're just praying for no loss of life. We know there's going to be great loss of property and great flooding and little EF0 tornadoes spun up and people's roofs ripped off and all kinds of things coming. But Lord, we just pray for these folks. Help them. Get them through, Lord. We just pray there not being kind of huge loss of life. We pray for these teachers, Lord, that are teaching in the midst of this pandemic. We pray for our first responders. We pray for our nurses and doctors. Lord, we pray for everybody that has to deal with the public. Lord, we pray for their protection. We pray you give them wisdom, discernment on how to mask and social distance or what they need to do, even so far as getting the vaccine, Lord, if they feel led to do that. Father God, we just pray you help people make the best decisions they can for their health. And Lord, we're just praying for your protection. We're praying a hedge of protection around our own school here. We pray that the COVID would not enter. We're praying for this church that the COVID would not enter here, Lord. We're trying to be wise and social distance and mask up. And so, Lord, we're just praying that you would honor our efforts. And, Lord, you would keep the COVID Delta variant out of this congregation, out of this church. We do pray for Johnny Hyman. We lift him up to you tonight, Lord. We pray that he would continue to make improvement with his COVID diagnosis. We're thankful for the care that he's receiving. Lord, we know he's been to the ICU several times, but Lord, we just pray that you now begin to get him on the mend and get him through the worst of it, Lord, and help him. We pray for Brother Paul. We pray for his pain level and pain management and his recovery from his surgery. Pray you just be with him, strengthen his body. Lord, we just pray you give him weeks ahead in his recovery of what the doctors thought he would be. You just heal him up and grow him strong and just, Lord, get him back to where he was. And, Lord, we pray that the rest of his lungs just pick up what's been removed. And, Lord, he not even skip a beat. He just heal right up from this and just keep on keeping on. We lift up Ronnie and Alita to you tonight as they travel back from Arkansas from their son's 40th birthday. Lord, we pray you watch over them. Give them traveling mercies in the midst of all this traffic leaving Louisiana. And then as people see the hurricane has passed, they're going to want to drive back in this evening or perhaps tomorrow morning. But Lord, we just pray you watch over them as they come back. Give them traveling mercies. Be with them, Lord. Continue to pray for Miss Karen and her family, Lord, and the loss of Brother Bill. Watch, be with them, Lord. Comfort them. May they comfort one another and be the hands and the feet and speak the words of Christ to one another as they comfort each other. We're thankful again for Brother Bill's life and the love, the Lord, just the leadership and the encouragement that you poured through him to me and to this congregation and to other folks. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you today, Lord. We lift up Lori's grandparents to you. We pray that you heal them as they are home now from the hospital from a COVID diagnosis and a COVID stay in the hospital. Thank you, Lord, that it was only 5 days and that they're home. And we just pray that they not have any kind of setback or secondary infections. And that, Lord, you just see them through that and help them through that. Father God, those that are struggling in the congregation with physical illness, I pray for my daughter. I pray for my wife coming down with an ear infection, sounds like this evening. Lord, I pray for my own body that you'd strengthen it and heal it up from whatever ails it. And God, we just pray for your touch. We pray for your anointing tonight. Lord, just help us be in the center, in the middle of your will as we go through this passage. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. I was not here Wednesday night. I was sicker than a dog. Had a bad, bad cough. And watched the testimony service for Brother Bill online. Thank you, Brother John, for handling that service. And thank you, those of you that spoke on Brother Bill's behalf. Thank you for that. So I'll go ahead and share my testimony now, And I don't know if you can edit that in with the other thing, Jeremiah. I don't know if you can do that, but whatever. But it'll be recorded, and that's the main thing. But I'll never forget the first time I met Brother Bill. He was one of the active deacons at the time when the search committee was talking to me about considering coming here in view of a call. And I thought, wow, man, what a neat guy when I met him then. You know, what a jovial guy, what a friendly guy, outgoing guy. Just seemed like a solid guy. And then I remember when I first got here on the scene and became pastor here and church voted me in and all that jazz. And Brother Mike Tate was taking me around, you know, meeting me different folks. Well, of course, that was his father-in-law. And that was one of the first houses I went to was Dorothy and Bill's house. And this was before the trailer. This was back when they were living in the house. And I remember, you know, going in the home and thinking, you know, this is a humble house. And thinking, you know, hey, man, this guy and this family really is serious about church. Because they weren't serious about having the biggest home. Brother Bill had money. They weren't serious about having all the trappings. And they were serious about church. And coming to church and worshiping God and being a part of Jesus' church. And I remember, you know, Dorothy was kind of at the end when I came on. And so I really didn't get to know Dorothy much, but I know when she passed, that was a huge hole in Brother Bill's heart and Brother Bill's life. And he was never the same after Dorothy's passing. But I don't fault Bill for that. I think that's a great testimony of their love and of their marriage to each other. And I think, you know, hey, you know, everybody deals with grief different, and that's how Brother Bill dealt with it. So I think it was difficult for him to come back here physically to be in this place and not have his bride next to him. So that was a tough thing for him. But he was always, you know, you guys know, he was a hugger and a kisser. You know, he's just an encourager and just always for you and not against you. And, man, I really appreciate him for that. And I did not know this. This was pointed out to me by one of the family. But in all the years since I've been here, you know, he's not been real regular here. I've talked about his wife passing away and that kind of affected him. But that guy has been faithful to this congregation financially. I mean, he has poured it out. Poured it out while not being here physically. Man, I want to tell you, that speaks volumes of who he is with Jesus, right? You show me somebody that loves the bride, the church, takes care of the bride, the church, I'll show you somebody's got Jesus down in the middle of them, right? He was for the church, never against it. Always for it. Always for it. And so, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that. World War II generation, special guys. You know, as they move on, now it's the Korean generation. You'll be seeing them starting to move on. And then it's that Vietnam generation. Start to see that move on. And then I'll be moving on with these Afghan-Iraq generation guys. So just the next man up. But praise the Lord for Brother Bill. Praise the Lord for Miss Dorothy. And we know that they are together. Amen? Together, together in glory. So that's my testimony, and I'm sticking with it. Amen? All right, if you got a copy of God's Word, let's crack them open here and get on back to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll look here at verse 33 and take it through verse 37. Now, we've covered the majority of this, but I said I was going to get to the rest of this. And I could have covered all of this morning, and we could have got back into Revelation. I've got a message ready on Revelation, but it would have been a long, protracted service, and I would have probably had to wake many of you up on the way out. So, so Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Matthew 12, verse 33, and we'll take it through 37, just to kind of set the context. He gives a call here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, here talking to the Pharisees who have blasphemed him, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure, what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. I was off knee-deep into this passage this morning, and I was talking about Jesus' denunciation of these folks, and I made some comment. I go back and I try to watch. I mean, he films them, so I watch them and try to pick up cues, and I try to find my own mistakes and try to be a better preacher by watching the video, and sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. But I made a comment. I got knee-deep off into this, made a comment about did I care about the Pharisees? And I think I said no. And do I care about, because we were talking about offended, being offended, and then do I care about you when you get offended? And I said a little. And I don't want that to all get construed. What did he mean? What was he talking about that? Let me walk back some of that. I don't know the Pharisees. These Pharisees here that have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, they are destined to a place called hell. Let me just say this for anybody that I know of, that I have relations with, that I knew of in the past or that I may know in the future, that are destined for a place called hell, my heart breaks for that individual. My heart breaks. I have wept tears over lost people not coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What really hurts is when people get exposed to the gospel and they say no to it. In other words, they're convicted of the Holy Spirit. There's a conviction there that they're sinners, and they turn their backs on that. And I misspoke on that, and I want to just walk that back and apologize. And when somebody in here is offended, I do care. It hurts me when people are offended. I probably care too much, but I don't know. I try to not be, and I've said this several times, and you've heard it, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but I try not to be a man pleaser, but a God pleaser, right? So I've never tried to be my congregation's buddy. I've always tried to be their pastor, right? And tell them the truth, right? Now, we can be friends to a certain degree outside of this and here and when we fellowship and stuff like that, but you guys know it's hard. You know, if I water it down, it's easier for us to be friends, but I just can't water it down. Does that make sense? So there's always kind of that distinction there. So I do care when people get a... Amen. So I do care if people get offended, but I've got to preach the Bible, all of it, in its full strength, okay? So I just wanted to kind of clarify that. I didn't want anybody to kind of take that out of context. So if I ruffled feathers with those comments, I certainly do apologize. But as we look at this tonight, I've already covered most of this. I said Jesus begins by making a one-sentence call, which is really a warning, and helps us with our needs, somebody to come alongside us and help us with our sin. I said Jesus applies the call to his lost audience, right? And he really hammers these Pharisees that have blasphemed the working of the Holy Spirit through him as he's healed this guy with a demon and guy that couldn't speak. And then I said, what comes out of your mouth reveals your heart. And we started delving in that. And so we're going to kind of continue on with that as we think about this fourth and final point to this two-part message, okay? And I realize there's only 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 of us. And normally I wouldn't bring the full load, but I've just got to share this. This is so good tonight, and it'll be on video, and if people want to see it, they can. If they don't, I wish they would. Amen? But the fourth point is ultimately what comes out of your mouth. Ultimately what comes out of your mouth determines your judgment. That determines your judgment. Verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, what is Jesus getting at here in these two verses? Jesus is saying, because people's words are an accurate gauge of their hearts, they shall render account for their words in the day of judgment. Your mouth does not lie about what's in your heart. Now, you can try to manipulate what comes out of your mouth, right? When what's in your heart is not what's really coming out of your mouth. But eventually, it's all going to line up. There's going to be times and seasons where you can't cover nothing up because what's in your heart is what's going to come out. Salvation and condemnation, understand this, are not produced by words or deeds. Salvation and condemnation are not produced by words or deeds, but salvation and condemnation are testified by either our words or deeds. Amen? Words and deeds are objective. Words and deeds are observable evidence of a person's spiritual condition. Think about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Right? Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Just like biblical stewardship. We just talked about Bill and his biblical stewardship. Man, that guy was a giver and a half. Just like biblical stewardship, just like church attendance, just like how you respond to the Holy Spirit, how you respond to decisions for Christ. Do you know in this church, we had a person get saved here a couple weeks ago, and I had her go back with me, and I said, you stand right here. You stand right here, and people are going to come by and encourage you in your decision. Do you know we had a leader of this congregation, a leader in this congregation, walk by that new believer like they were not even there? It was like somebody took a .38 and shot me right here in the bottom of my lung. It was like a mule kicked me. I saw this person go out the door, and I'm looking back at this new believer, and nothing. I mean, nothing. I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me? Now, hey, I did see people go by and encourage her and talk to her about a Bible, amen, and tell her they'd be praying for her, amen. And that encouraged me. That encouraged me. But do you see, when you those deeds and those words, those deeds and words, they come out. Now you may be the biggest lover, the biggest hugger, the biggest slobberer of all the congregation, right? And people may think, man, that individual loves everybody. But when a new believer gets the touch and you walk by them, whoo, you just revealed your heart. You just revealed your heart. And people think, oh, Pastor Steve don't see nothing. They think he can't hear. Man, my eyes are pretty good. I mean, not to the back of the wall, but halfway, I mean, they're in my ears. My kids can't believe how good my ears still are. I mean, now some things I can't hear, but I can hear my kids when they're up to no good. I don't know. Maybe it's a Holy Spirit thing. He tunes it in to help me. But biblical stewardship, church attendance, how you respond to the Holy Spirit, how you respond to decisions for Christ, what fruit of the Spirit is being produced through you, these are observable evidence of a person's spiritual condition. Amen? Of a person's spiritual condition. In the day of judgment, the Lord evaluates who belongs in and out of His eternal kingdom, and the criteria for those that are lost will include the speech of everything they say, the speech of every person. Every lost person is going to give an account of every word. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, let's try to unpack that. What does Jesus mean by these verses? What does He mean by these verses? Let me ask you another question. I'll answer the question with a question, which people don't like, but I'm sorry. That's just what we're doing. I'll answer that question with a question. What does He mean by that? Another question. Well, what does Jesus mean by these verses? Another question. How are we saved? How are we saved? The consistent teaching of the Old and New Testaments is that the only way of salvation is by God's grace. God's grace working through man's faith. Romans 5:1. You're justified by what? By faith in God's grace. So Jesus' point is not that words are the basis of salvation, and not that words are the basis of condemnation, but that they are reliable evidence of the reality of salvation or condemnation, one or the other. Now, would you agree this evening that the speech of a redeemed person, the words of a redeemed person, will be different than that of a lost person because those words come from their renewed heart? Would you agree with that? Amen? You'd agree with that, right? And so because of their salvation, there are some pure, there are some wholesome, there are some praising words that are spoken, right, that testify of a new heart. Friend, that's why we sing the songs of the faith. We get the words out, right? The words of praise and the words of adoration. That's why we pray as a congregation, and you pray in your Sunday school classes, and you pray at your Bible studies, and we pray on Wednesday night and Sunday night. It's to get these words of praise and adoration out of us up to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Per God's word, we're not saved by good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. Listen to these familiar passages, a scripture that you already know, but be reminded of them. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, those of you with me online, Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Amen? Always good to hear a new convert confess their faith in Christ. Romans 15:18, get them in the baptistry. Have you received Christ as your person? Yes. Is it your desire to follow the Lord? Yes. It's always great to have that new convert confess that salvation, that faith. Romans 15:18, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. By word and deed. You get that? Romans 15:18. Don't miss that one. Amen? Salvation will produce good works. I think we all agree with that. Amen? Salvation will produce good works. And it is for that reason and in that sense that words, when Jesus says, for by your words you will be justified, right? And by your words you will be condemned. Salvation will produce good works, and it is for that reason and in that sense that words bring justification or condemnation. Now, the ungodly, the lost, will be eternally condemned for their speech. Eternally condemned for their speech. Apart from what they did, apart from how they rejected Christ, apart from how they lived, apart from all of that, what they said is going to be enough evidence of their unregenerate heart to send them to a place called hell. Now, we already know that blaspheming the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Yes, yes, we all are on the same page of that? Yeah, all right. And we already know that unconfessed blasphemy, will send you to hell if you're lost, right? Unconfessed sin will send you to hell if you're lost. But Jesus does not limit this warning to extremes such as blasphemy, but He makes explicit that men, people, women, everybody will render account for every careless word that they speak, which begs the question, doesn't it? It begs the big question. And the big question is this: what does Jesus mean by careless? Well, what does He mean by careless? Well, careless is from the Greek argos. What in the world does argos mean? Argos means useless. It means barren. Argos means unproductive. Argos means worthless. So, let's kind of think about the context here. Let's think about the Pharisees. Let's think about the New Testament. Let's think about what's going on in the world back then, what's going on in the world today. What would Jesus be including in the term careless? What do you think He'd be including? So, I think Jesus is talking about immoral speech. I think He's talking about some vulgar speech here, some cruel speech, some blasphemous words for sure. We've already talked about blasphemy here. Jesus is talking about words that are flippant, words that are irresponsible or in any way inappropriate. Now, when we think of ourselves as saved, you saved, right? You saved, I'm saved, you saved, I'm saved, everybody's saved here. As saved folks are folks that perceive themselves to be saved, because I think we got some folks like that in the congregation. They perceive themselves to be saved, but I don't know the pennies drop. As saved folks are folks that perceive themselves to be saved, we think perhaps in our ivory towers, because we all that in a bag of chips, we think in our ivory towers that we are immune to speaking such careless words. But there's another category here that is tied into the context of where we're at in the passage. I mean, we talk about the dirty stuff and the vulgar stuff, and we shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff, but there's another category. There's another category up in here in this context when we think about the Pharisees' rebuke starting in verse 22. When we think about really the whole chapter 12 leading down into this passage that we're in, there's another category that backslid Christians and self-deceived lost folks speak. You may be wondering, well, what in the world is the category? What's the category, Pastor? Ding, 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 what is it? Well, it's hypocritical words. What were the Pharisees? Hypocrites. Play actors, right? Hypocritical words are among the most careless and worthless that people speak and are unfortunately among the most common. That's the most common. It's not the vulgar speech. It's not the cruel speech. It's the hypocritical speech. When people self-consciously keep their vocabulary Christian, self-consciously keep their vocabulary moral, self-consciously keep their vocabulary church folk approved while among fellow Christians, for the sake of impressing one another, or for manipulating each other, or to keep from embarrassing themselves, then those words are careless. They are worthless in God's sight, and He will render them against their account. Now, if you're saved, hypocritical words will probably be a demise to some, if not all, of your spiritual words, if you don't ever get off of that, if you just stay a baby Christian, and you just kind of keep playing baby church, and you just kind of keep going with the flow and not ever growing in the Lord, I'm telling you, you're not going to have any spiritual rewards. And if you had some, these hypocritical words are probably going to render them useless and gone. And if you're lost, those hypocritical words will be part of the evidence that condemns you to a place called hell. This is the bottom line here. You may fool me, but you ain't going to fool me all the time, but you may fool me most of the time. You may fool me, you may fool the church, you may fool this deacon over here or other deacon on the way back from Arkansas. You may fool your Christian friends, you may fool your family, but I'm telling you, your two-faced, hypocritical ways, your calculated hypocrisy to get your way or to gain or maintain some kind of power or some kind of position, I want to tell you, that is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. That is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. It's not flowing from you. It's contrived. It's manipulative, right? Right? Amen? So the question is, and we touched on this morning, and so this kind of a little bit review for you, but how do we get genuine Christian speech coming out of us? How do we get that to come out of us? Well, ultimately, it's got to be by the Word of God. The Word of God. Ultimately, it's got to be by a growing relationship with Jesus. Ultimately, it's got to be by an active prayer life, by a genuine love for the church, the genuine love for the bride of Christ, the genuine hunger for holiness, the genuine desire to please God and not people. You got to get to pleasing Him and not people. By living out these and other spiritual disciplines, it will flow out of you. Good words will, right? The Christian speech will reflect God's transforming work in their heart if their heart is being transformed. It's going to come. It's going to come. In the heart, The will, the mind, is where the battle lies. That's the battle. It's where it's at. And we ask the question, why is that? Why do we always have to battle there? Why is it in the heart? And why is it with the will? And why is it in the mind? And why do we have to battle with our thoughts? And why? Well, friend, it's because we're sinners saved by grace. It is because of our old dying flesh that we have to deal with until we get a glorified body one day. Our hearts have got to constantly, they need daily care if our heart is to be increasingly spiritual, increasingly wholesome, increasingly fitting, increasingly kind, increasingly sensitive, increasingly loving, increasingly purposeful and edifying and truthful. If we don't prune our hearts and cut our flesh daily, it will not happen for us. For spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, loving, purposeful, edifying, and truthful words to come out of us, we are continually putting spiritual, holy things in. Got to turn the gun smoke off. Got to turn Fox News off. Got to turn this and that off. And you got to get focused on Him. All day? Not all day, but you know some of your day. There's got to be a part of your day. In the a.m. or the p.m. or during the lunchtime, somewhere, you got to get your mind on the goodness of your God. Amen? You need to approach your mouth. You need to approach your tongue and what comes out of it with the utmost care and concern as the psalmist did. In other words, pray that God help you with your mouth. Pray, help you with your mouth. Psalm chapter 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Amen? That man, if you struggle with this, that is a good verse to put on a card, to put on your fridge, to put on your mirror, to put on your bedstand, your nightstand, to scroll that across your phone. You know, when you turn your phone on, it scrolls that passage. When your Facebook page pops up, your Instagram or whatever, that verse comes up. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." But for the unbeliever, all the words of his unredeemed heart, all of them, all the words of his unredeemed heart are worthless. As far as spiritual value is concerned, they are worthless. His evil words, or her evil words, are obviously worthless. Among the most common evil words are those that express lust, those that express deceit, those that express cursing and oppression, lying, those that express destruction, those that express vanity, those that express flattery, those that express foolishness, those that express falsehood, those that express pride, words that express vulgarity, we've already kind of touched on that, words that express hatred, we've looked at that in this passage, those that express gossip, right? Among the most common evil words are those that express what we just mentioned. For the unbeliever, careless and worthless words also, this is for the unbeliever now, also include those that are otherwise good words. Well, how do you get there, preacher? Although they're words of love, and although they're words of encouragement, and although they're words of comfort and kindness, may be sincere by them and greatly helpful to others, they are of no spiritual value to him or her because they do not come from a redeemed and righteous heart. Are you feeling that? Amen? Man, you want to love tonight if you've got a redeemed and righteous heart. You want to love that fact. You want to praise Jesus for that. No spiritually good thing can come from a heart that is spiritually evil. It just can't happen. As Jesus has just pointed out, he said it just don't work like that. Now, a person can get a good indication of their spiritual condition by listening to their own words. A Christian can fall into evil words just as he can fall into evil deeds. But his customary speaking, His consistent speaking will be pure, just as his customary activities will be righteous. Oh, we're going to sin and we're going to struggle, but when we look at the grand scheme of things, there's going to be more good coming out of us than there is evil. Amen? So, this passage that we are focused on this evening has application to both the saved and the unsaved, to the good man and to the evil man. Now, my question to you is, what would you say Jesus' main thrust is here, though? I mean, he talks a little bit about the good man, but he speaks a whole lot about the evil man, don't he? Yeah, yeah. Pastor, just reading the text, preacher. His main thrust is directed, I would think, to unbelievers, represented in the extreme by the blaspheming Pharisees. Well, if that is your answer tonight, anybody's answer? Anybody claim that as an answer? If that is your answer tonight, then ding, ding, you are right. You win a prize. So then, where will those Pharisees end up? That's where we're trying to get to tonight. Where will the Pharisees end up? Where are these guys going to end up? Anybody want to take a swing? Where are they going? They're going to hell, but before they get there, they got to go through something. Notice the word that says judgment. What judgment are we talking about, maybe? Right, we're talking about the white throne for sure, right? Talking about the white throne for sure. Amen? That's what we're talking about, right? The great white throne judgment. The day of judgment for unbelievers culminates in the great white throne judgment, the ultimate and eternal judgment at which unbelievers now shall be condemned. Now, the Christian's sins, my sin and your sin, those that are saved, our sins will have been dealt with at Calvary. Our sins are dealt with there. And our sins are dismissed by the atoning blood of Christ applied on behalf of our faith in our Savior. Amen? That gets us there, okay? I'll tell you, every Christian, myself included, every Christian, and as much as I get to talk, my soul, every Christian has sinned with his tongue after salvation. Every single one of us. We have sinned with our tongues after salvation. But Christ's atoning, sacrificial, blood-spilt sacrifice is sufficient to cover that and every other sin that we commit. Every other sin that we commit. Now, for the Christian, there will be a consequence for unconfessed and unrepented, careless words. But that consequence is not a loss of salvation. That consequence is not a loss of standing before Christ. Rather, the loss has to do more with losing rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ. It's just losing rewards. You want to have something to lay down at the Savior's feet. I'm telling you, you want to live your life. You want to at least lay down a crown of righteousness. You want to at least lay down a Stephanos that you finished your race. Yeah, you want to lay down some rewards, friend. You want to have some things go through the refining fire and come out on the other end that you can lay down at the Savior's feet. Not that you can put on your wall, that you can lay down at His feet. It's always been about Him, amen? It's always been about Him, right? Now, the evil words and deeds of unbelievers, I've just talked to you about believers at the Bema Seat, the evil words and deeds of unbelievers will remain to stand in evidence against them. This is the uh-oh. This is the old man, you got to be kidding. This is the, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. Oh, friend, it's going to be awful. Like the unfaithful slave, remember the unfaithful slave in Jesus' parable? Unbelievers will be judged by their own words. By their own words. Luke chapter 19, verse 22 says, He said to him, "By your own words I will judge you. By your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave." Luke 19:22. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? So, as we close it out tonight, I don't have any more time, but we got a little bit further to go. As we close it out this evening, let's get into the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, and let's get the flavor of what Jesus is speaking about here in Matthew chapter 12. Revelation chapter 20, we'll try not to steal too much thunder because we certainly hadn't gotten this far in our series of messages on Revelation. But if you'll go to Revelation chapter 20, tell me when you're there. There, that's one. All right, okay, I think everybody's there. Revelation 20, verse 12. Look at verse 12 with me. The Word of God reads in Revelation 20:12, "And I saw the dead, in the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." Jump over there to verse 15, 20:15. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the what? Lake of fire." That is correct. "When the record books are scanned at the white throne judgment, when the record books are scanned, no good deeds will be listed by the names of unbelievers." No good deeds. "When the book of life is scanned," the book of life, "when that is scanned, not even their names will appear." Now, the books that report the deeds, what they did and what they said, and the book that reports faith will both reconcile. Both of those books, the books that record their deeds and their words, and the book of life, those will both reconcile. They will not be in contradiction with each other. They will both say the same. You have no place here. You get to go where the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist are. You didn't make it. Your rejection of the gospel, your blaspheming of the Holy Spirit when you were convicted of your sin, your turning your back on Jesus has landed you in eternity in a place called hell. Now, where does a spoken word go? Where does a spoken word go? Whether you whisper it under your breath as you're walking out of your pew and you're leaving the sanctuary, or you shout it on the highest hill you can find, either or, where do those words go? I will tell you this, and maybe this will help us all with our words. Scientists theorize that sound waves are never completely lost. Never completely lost, but gradually fade beyond detection for man. But the theory goes, and they prove this mathematically, the theory goes that with sufficiently sensitive instruments, every word ever spoken in the history of mankind can presumably be retrieved. Is that mind-boggling, mind-blowing? I want to tell you one better. I'm here to tell you here tonight, right here and right now, that Almighty God doesn't need their sensitive instruments. That a sovereign God who can look at today and look back at yesterday and look at tomorrow, he doesn't need a sensitive instrument. He just simply goes to the day. He goes to the life. He goes to the time span of the life. And every word spoken and every deed done that hadn't been covered by the blood is going to be in those books, recorded perfectly. A perfect record of a lost life. And in this other book over here, it's going to be recorded perfectly that their name's not in it. There's going to be an absence of their name and deeds that are not covered by the blood. Perfectly. God will make no mistakes at the white throne judgment. There will be no mistakes at the Bema seat of Christ. I'm here to tell you that Almighty God does not need our instruments, but He will, by looking at any record of time, record every word and deed of mankind in God's infallible records. I've told you, I'm going to tell you again, are perfectly preserved for use as evidence in the coming judgment. The white throne. Because you know what people are going to say? Hey, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Man, I went to church. I did of this or I did of that. And he will say, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me. Right? I've got right here your deeds. And I got right here your words. And these things are not under the blood. These are your sins. There is no salvation in this life. In fact, I can go to this book of life and you're not, your name's not in there. Your name's not in there. Does that make sense? Amen. So, careless words, we need to make sure what? That our words are more consistently good and less consistently evil. Because our mouths are going to speak, they tell the truth of what's in our heart. So think about not how do I manipulate, don't think about how I can cover up the poor condition of my heart so that I don't say things that are inappropriate. Think about how you can put the good things in your heart so that the good words come out. Does that make sense? Yeah, think about it in those terms. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, those of you watching with us online, thank you for being here. We'll have a closing word of prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you again, Lord, that we could have a second installment on this passage here in Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we're saved and that our sins are under the blood and that the penalty of our sins have been paid for by Jesus on the cross. But Father God, there are others, and people would call them good people. People would call them good people, Lord, but they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, even their good words will stand in denunciation of them because they're not saved. So Lord, we pray. We pray for those that are lost. Lord, we pray that we'd be a witness to them. And then Lord, when we see folks that we run with and we see folks that we church with and we see folks that we have a genuine love and like for and friendship for, Lord, when we see things coming out of them that just aren't what's supposed to be coming out of a Christian, give us the strength to encourage that person. Help us hold them accountable to the Word of God. And Lord, if it's a continual thing, they just can't get there, then it behooves us, as a church member, to ask them to share their personal testimony. Tell me, how did it happen for you? And Lord, in the midst of that, we may find that this person who thought they were saved has only had a religious experience, has only had some head knowledge, has never really come under the convicting power or has never really answered the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, what a blessed opportunity in doing the right thing. What a blessed opportunity for doing the right thing that we might get to lead somebody that we love, care about, and know to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Help us point people to Jesus. Help us love them there. Help us pray for those that are lost that they get there soon. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.